Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a message out of the Gospel of John, a very familiar passage. I've entitled it The Voice of the Shepherd, and this is where Jesus declares that he is the Good Shepherd. And we're going to take a look at what that means. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us a great song called People Get Ready. So as we prepare to hear the word, let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, to hear your word proclaimed, to hear about the life of Jesus and the message that he sends to us when he says that he indeed is the Good Shepherd. And so, Lord, please open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear your word as you would have us hear it. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So our scripture passage this morning does come from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. These are the words of Jesus himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord. I am the good shepherd. Five words of such significance. These should not be words that we just read and then move on. These are words that we should ponder and yearn to understand. These are words that help us to see the character of a Savior, the one whom we profess to believe in and to love, the one who laid down his life for us. With each I am statement, we see another part of the essence of Christ's being. And today we catch a glimpse of his character. Now, who would think that the God whose majesty is eternal, the great I am, would allow us to get to know him at such a personal and intimate level? But our Lord Jesus Christ not only allows it, he rejoices in it. And who better to help us understand Jesus' character than John? Reading from the Gospel of John has special significance to me. John was, after all, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The many references by Jesus to my beloved disciple helps us to understand that there was a special relationship and a special trust between Jesus and John. John's account of Jesus' life and ministry gives us very personal glimpses into Jesus' journey to the cross, and it comes from someone who loved Jesus dearly and knew him so well. It was Clement of Alexandria in the second century that said, while the other Gospels set forth physical things, John wrote a spiritual gospel. It was Origen in the early 3rd century that called the Gospels the first fruits of all Scripture and John, the first fruits of the gospel. Augustine, in the 4th century, said that John was the gospel of the Spirit. And Martin Luther, in the 16th century, wrote that John's gospel is far to be preferred because it will show you Christ and teach you everything you need to know. And then it was John Calvin who said that while the other gospels reveal the body of Jesus, the gospel of John reveals the soul of Jesus. I am the Good Shepherd. This image of God as a shepherd is pervasive, but why a shepherd? In the all-familiar 23rd Psalm, we hear, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 12, it says, "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." And then it's in Isaiah 40, verse 11. And let me just remind us that it was 700 years before Jesus was born that Isaiah was prophesying. And yet, this description is so perfect in describing Jesus. It was in Isaiah 40 then that he says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And now, John gives an eyewitness account of Jesus, alive on the earth as fully God and fully human, invoking the image of the shepherd once again, as he travels through Judea on his way to Jerusalem and, yes, to the cross. It is in William Barclay's commentary on the Gospel of John that he tells us that the main part of Judea was a central plateau stretching from Bethel to Hebron for 35 miles and 17 miles across. The ground was rough and rocky. Judea was much more a pastoral than an agricultural country, and it was inevitable that the most familiar figure of the Judean countryside was that of a shepherd. A shepherd's life was very hard. No flock ever grazed without a shepherd, and he was never off duty. And we know that there being very little grass, the sheep were bound to wander in search of food, and the sheep had to be watched constantly. On either side of the plateau, the ground dipped sharply down to the craggy deserts, and sheep were always liable to stray away and get lost. So the shepherd's task was not only constant, but it was dangerous as well. In Dr. Barclay's commentary on John, he also describes passage here that was written by Sir George Adam Smith, who traveled in Palestine. And this is what Sir Adam George Smith said. He said, "On some high moor, across which at night the hyenas howl, when you meet him, sleepless, far-sighted, weather-beaten, leaning on his staff, and looking out over his scattered sheep, every one of them on his heart, you understand why the shepherd of Judea sprang to the front in his people's history, why they gave his name to their king and made him the symbol of providence, why Christ took him as the type of self-sacrifice. Constant vigilance, fearless courage, patient love for his flock were the necessary characteristics of the shepherd. The relationship between sheep and the shepherd is heartwarming. The sheep often are with the shepherd for years, and often they have names by which the shepherd calls them. In Palestine, the shepherd went in front of the sheep, and then they followed. The shepherd went first to see that the path was safe, and sometimes the sheep had to be encouraged to follow. The shepherd's life was always in danger as he protected his flock. And it is strictly true that the sheep know and understand the shepherd's voice, and they will never answer to the voice of a stranger. So is there any wonder why Jesus chose to portray himself as the good shepherd, dignifying the role of that humble servant and fulfilling the image of God as a shepherd that occurs throughout the Old Testament? You know, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," the word that he is using, which we translate as good, is actually the Greek word kalos, which is a different word than the word that is most commonly used for good in the Greek language. The most common word is the word agathos, and agathos refers to a moral quality. But when Jesus is referring to his being a good shepherd, it is more than just a moral shepherd. He uses the word kalos, and it has an impressive list of definitions which better help us to understand the character of Jesus. Yes, the Greek word kalos means beautiful, precious, commendable, and admirable, and it also means excellent in its nature and characteristics, and therefore well adapted to its ends. It is genuine and precious. It is praiseworthy and noble. All of those fall under the definition of that word kalos. And Jesus uses that word when he says, "I am the good shepherd." It is beautiful by reason of purity of heart. It is beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, and hence praiseworthy. I am the good shepherd. Yes, Jesus is saying, "I am the shepherd who is precious and genuine. I am the shepherd who is beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, and hence praiseworthy." The key verses here in John 10, as we look at the sacrificial character of our Lord Jesus Christ, are these. In verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus is in Judea, working his way toward Jerusalem. He knows what lies ahead. He knows that indeed he will be laying down his life, not for his gain, but for ours. He was already God. He didn't have to do this except for his extraordinary love for us, in order that we might know redemption and the kingdom of heaven. and in order that we might know God to the most intimate degree, Jesus was willing to lay down his life. And in verses 14 and 15, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In the same way that God the Father and God the Son know each other, Jesus says he knows us, and we know him. Well, friends, when was the last time we thought about this kind of relationship with Jesus in our own lives? When was the last time we consciously and intentionally opened our hearts to a deeper connection with Christ, who is ever inviting us into relationship with him? Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The abundance that he's talking about here is not an abundance of material things. The prosperity gospel that Jesus preached was about the prosperity of our souls, and it manifests itself in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of this from a shepherd, a good shepherd, who was willing to lay down his life for us. Friends, I'm worried that we don't take this seriously enough. I'm worried that a sense of entitlement is making us think that somehow we deserve to be loved by Jesus, because after all, he was just a shepherd-like man who was sent by God to redeem us. We start to think that we must be pretty special if God was willing to do that. But you see, if that is our attitude, that we somehow deserve the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ because we are special, then we have our theology backwards. We are missing the true message of the Gospels. We are missing the reason that Jesus came to earth so that we might have a personal relationship with the living God. The true message of the Gospels is this: Jesus Christ is the special one. He did not deserve to feel forsaken by God and to suffer and die on a cross. He is the good shepherd, the one who is genuine and precious, the one who is beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, and hence praiseworthy. We are not the ones who are praiseworthy, but yet through his humble spirit, Jesus speaks to us still today. Listen to his voice, the voice of the shepherd. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those words come from the voice of the shepherd. The Good Shepherd, to the glory of God. Amen. Now, friends, let us enjoy this song that has been arranged and performed for us today by Alan Vest. This is People Get Ready.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board up. Among the loved the most, there ain't no room for the whole, the sinner who would hurt all mankind to save his own. Have pity on those whose chance get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't trust, need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. You just thank the
Our thanks to Alan for that great song today, People Get Ready. Well, friends, as we look forward to the week ahead, I hope that you'll take some time to think about the Good Shepherd. Think about what it truly means when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. And remember that that word good that he is using there has special meaning. It means that he is the one who is genuine and precious. He is the one who is beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life. And yes, it means that he is praiseworthy. Indeed, he is praiseworthy. So listen to the voice of the shepherd and go forward this week and rejoice that we have that opportunity to be in relationship with the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.